For those of you who don't know me, I am Dennis Ryan. For those of you who have come to Unity during the past 20 years, you may be laboring under the misapprehension that I was born to the manor and that I've always been in church leadership. However, the truth is that for 30 years, I had no church and I had no regular spiritual practice. It was not until a very dear friend told me, "You say you're stuck. You're stuck for a reason. Physical healing and emotional healing are not sufficient. A milk stool has three legs for a reason. Until you have a spiritual practice, you'll never be better than you are in this moment of your life." And that's when I cast about and discovered Unity Church in Albany. I was welcomed by the very first person I met. One of the next people became my mentor, my big brother, exactly 17 months older than me, constantly inviting me to volunteer to do more and do more and do more. Whereas when I showed up, I quietly and meekly volunteered to be on the prayer team, figuring no one would know if I did it wrong. Well, guess what? I'm still on the prayer team in my 26th year or 27th year. In fact, my community has become my family. Those of you who came this morning expecting to hear John Monday, he sends his regrets. Instead of John Monday, you have Tuesday's child. Tuesday's child was born in grace. As a longtime loner, I may not claim social graces, but I certainly claim the grace of God that took me through this door and kept me here all these years. And I do have, uniquely, an ironic story in which John Monday plays a part. Way back, pre-Unity, a friend recommended a spiritual workshop, which I gladly attended. And through this workshop, I met a meditation mentor named Lucille, who was a wonderful addition to my practice, although I only met her once, only knew her for about 3 hours before her passing. We made a spirit contact, and she gave me a name. She said, "I noticed something in you, and I think you should contact Rabbi Joseph Gelberman at the New Seminary in New York City." So I went home, dutifully sent an email to the address, and I got an instant response. "We regret to inform you Rabbi Gelberson has resigned his post and the new seminary has been dissolved. We'll get back to you," which of course they didn't do, at least in a timely fashion. Well, as the years passed, John Monday became associated with the revived All Faith Seminary. And one day, someone used John Monday's mailing list instead of the seminary's mailing list, and I received a response from Rabbi Joseph Gelberman. 24 years had elapsed, but there his name was in the letterhead. And Roger, I feel a folk song coming on. "Thought I saw Rabbi Joe last night, alive as you and me. I said, 'Rabbi Joe, you're 10 years dead.' 'I never died,' said he." Well, I'm starting off with this story. You usually get, or can expect, an impish story from me. However, this time, it's going to be a very serious punchline to this story. When I received that email, I pushed my chair back and resolutely responded internally, "You should know by now, you can't get your needs met. I'm going to come back to this later." Alrighty. The talk is titled, "You Would Know This If Only." Well, that's how I'm going to lighten it up at the end. So you really don't have to focus on that phrase right now. The topic, of course, for any of you who know me, is an aspect of love. This is a continuation of my last talk, which happened on a Valentine's Day. And this weekend, it happens to be my 18th wedding anniversary. So it's a further aspect of love. And both talks will be in the final exam. The final exam begins when you walk out your door with your love lights on and greet everyone you meet. Okay. Last time I spoke, I was reading Mr. Butterworth, Reverend Butterworth, and I was reading a contemporary author, Paul Hasselbeck, and they welled up and came out in the talk. Well, who has Dennis been reading this year? There was a weekend workshop with Reverend Linda Martella-Whitsett. Reread that book. There was the Monday Night Book Group, just about finished rereading her second book. Reverend Linda Martella-Whitsett spoke to us one of the topics in her newest book, written with her daughter, Alicia. So, it's obvious that having been immersed in the writings of Reverend Linda, that's what's going to percolate up. And I do so feeling somewhat like the deer in the headlights, D-E-A-R, because what I was motivated to do was to emulate Reverend Linda. When we first spoke about her in the book group in 2016, everyone in the room, including two licensed Unity teachers, everyone was challenged to think in terms of a 21st century God, not a 12th century God. Every one of us was challenged to think of the power of love, the cosmic power of the divine. Every one of us was challenged to assume our divine identity, to not hide it under a bushel. Found it difficult. It's really kind of simple. I came in the door of Unity. Every time I came to that certain traffic light, please God, rescue me from this interminable traffic delay. Then I came to Unity. I heard the phrase Father, Mother, God. And I thought, that's it. The divine is my father and my mother, and if I tap in, now that I'm an adult, I can mentor myself and I can love myself. And that was a move. But then I encountered more writings, like Reverend Linda's, and my consciousness said, Butterworth's right. There's a cosmic flow, and I have to jump in that cosmic flow. And then Reverend Linda came along and said, you are the flow, Dennis, and whatever made you think you weren't. So this is a difficult concept to do when so many people still think there's a Super Santa sitting on top of the cloud. And then to tease out one of the three aspects of the power of love, that's a really big ask. Is this really what you want? But that's what kept coming back. That one chapter of Reverend Linda's is still rattling around in your head. So, love, the power of attraction, harmony, and unity, the least understood and most often misused is the law of attraction. The Daily Word tells me today, my purpose is filled with passion. And if I speak the words of God, they better be truthful. I've learned the hard way not to be vague in what I say. I had one relationship where I trained my relationship partner to have all the negative traits that my mother displayed. So I decided, I'm going to do something different. In my next relationship, I trained my partner to exhibit all the negative aspects of my father's personality. And I once again said, I want something different. And I found a relationship where the negative traits were a mirror image of my own. I learned to be more precise, to be impeccable with my word. So here we go. God is principle. God is the cosmic power of love. So from this aspect, let's look at the question, what is the cause of my unwanted condition? The law of attraction. There are four common answers to this question. The first one is based on invisible forces. God allows this challenge. God causes this challenge. God sends it as punishment, as a lesson, or just so God can show off when he turns off the switch. He? Did I say that? When the divine turns off the switch. For many Christians, suffering is caused by sin, and suffering is the remedy for sin. So suffering is there somehow noble. This is where my family fits in. They didn't get loving guidance from a clergyman when my younger sibling was born severely handicapped. And the negative reverberations lasted a lifetime. I became a person who avoided shame rather than sought love. However, God is principle. God is not a punisher. God doesn't choose. God is the same for all people all the time. God is. Another way to answer that question, what's the cause of my unwanted condition? Natural imbalances. Traditional Chinese medicine seeks to restore physical balance and harmony with therapies that balance the body's qi, or in the Japanese language, ki. For you Reiki practitioners out there, equal time. Western medicine looks to genetics, environment, biochemistry, and physiology as causes for physical and mental illness. Then there's personal sin, a third way to misinterpret the law of attraction. Many theories about physical and mental illness rely on religiously induced guilt or your stinking thinking that you carry forward. And we in New Thought identify the human mind as the origin of human troubles, but we don't give you a nuanced understanding at the outset. This teaching, taking out of context, appears to blame the thinker. This is metaphysical malpractice. Having negative thoughts does not necessarily mean you cause your condition. But what about karma, you might ask? Well, Gandhi had the last word on karma. Naysayers, pompous naysayers, said to Gandhi, "Why do you meddle with those untouchables? That is their fate. That is their karma. They don't deserve your attention." Gandhi smiled and replied, "You don't know what karma is. The untouchables are here for you. How you treat them determines your karma." And a fourth way to answer this question, what is the cause of my unwanted condition, is, oh, it's way too complex. I've tried holistic medicine, chiropractic, and various energy healing modalities, continuing to search for the cause. Body, mind, and spirit are connected and contribute to the experience. But remember, to experience a condition is not the same as to cause it. That's a direct quote from Reverend Linda and her daughter Alicia. So now let's dive into the much nuanced notion of the law of attraction. Remember again, this is like gravity and like mathematics. It's a principle. It has a capital P. When Paul Hasselbeck teaches, you look through the book and every time you see a capital letter, you bolt upright, because a law, a principle, a truth, they are all capitalized to grab your attention. This is a principle. It's true for you. It's true for me. It's true every minute of every day. All thought, feeling, and action get pulled toward love by the power of magnetism. This is how I attracted myself to this community. It's how I attracted myself to the positions that I've filled. It's how I've attracted myself to my marriage of 18 years through the law of attraction. Love is tied to our desires, whether those desires are wanted or unwanted. Remember a few moments ago when I told you my instantaneous response, rather victimhood response, to being turned down by Rabbi Joe? The law of attraction states that we are the creators of our experiences and how we frame our reality. We're not responsible for our circumstances. We do not instigate disease. We do not instigate heartbreaks. And we do not instigate earthquakes by our thinking. We do not invite them as opportunities for learning or for growth. My reality is that I have had two COVID vaccinations. There's a collective consciousness of fear out in the world that may cause some to attack me for that stance that I've taken. I created the reality, vaccinations. I did not cause the circumstance, gaslighting, bullying, angry taunts that could result. There is a fine line and a significant difference. Each of us determines what is bad and what is good based on our values. Now, where do we carry our values? Are they in the frontal lobe? Are they further back? Are they in the liver? Our values we carry in our consciousness. And I'm reminded day in and day out that there's a percentage in there, and a certain percentage of that is only human consciousness, and another percentage of that is Christ consciousness, and it's up to me to work to improve the ratio. I was born in the image of the divine, but it's up to me to work to become the likeness of the divine. Our consciousness is comprised of every thought, every experience and every word we have encountered throughout our life. That includes in utero. I was programmed to believe my needs would not be met. This was my belief and my expectation at the soul level. These beliefs damaged me physically, emotionally, and spiritually. They made me respond to circumstances from a position of victimhood. It's not easy to reprogram one's consciousness. This is where denials and affirmations come in. And they're part of the upbeat ending to this talk. We're not going to deal with them just at this moment. We're going to recall that Reverend Linda asks us to always be mindful and aware that we have a divine identity. We don't have to acquire this identity. We need to release a limited sense of our only human self to reveal the infinite self, our divine identity. The bad things that happen, the not love things, are obvious to us because they contrast with our true nature, which is love. Love, not love. It stands out like a full moon on a dark night. One's bright, one's not. Anything you perceive as not love will stand out. And your innermost unknown to you thoughts do not cause bad things to happen to you. Self-blame, metaphysical malpractice, is destructive. It leads to self-condemnation, a position from which you cannot move forward. The law of attraction claims that you are responsible not for creating the bad things that happen, but you are responsible for how you experience them. How you respond matters. Notice I did not say react. I said respond. When your response is harmonious with your values and beliefs, you feel better. Reverend Linda has given me an entirely new way to look at this next word. She hyphenates it and uses two different typefaces to separate response ability. I am able to control my response when I live from my highest self, my divine identity. For me, it's choosing not to be a victim when I encounter difficulty, not to take it personally and rage at myself. It may not be easy to respond to hatred with love, but it is possible because your very nature is love. It may not be easy to respond to sickness by focusing on all that is going well, but it is possible because wholeness is your divine identity. So Dennis, the book nerd, read those three books that I held up. Is that the only way to encounter this concept of Reverend Linda's? You'd know this concept if you read Unity Magazine. The very chapter that captivated me is excerpted in the current issue of Unity Magazine. There's one on the chair out in the hall. I expect someone to take it home. What else would you know if only you read, what? Unity Magazine. Well, there's a gentleman named Dawson Church, a scientist and spiritualist. Dawson has a little 300-page ditty here. Mind to matter, where he lists dozens of peer-reviewed studies proving mind creates matter. Dawson doesn't let up. He watches what other people do with that research to refine it even further. Dawson's got a brand new book. You can tell it's new because I usually only buy paperback, not hardcover. Bliss Brain. It has been determined that cortisol, the bad stuff that courses through your brain when you're being negative, can be offset, and you can generate the good stuff. A couple of years ago, no one knew what the good stuff was. They just knew there had to be something. If there's a cannabinoid receptor, then the brain knows that there's cannabis. Well, if there's joy receptors, there has to be a joy tonic. Well, it was isolated, and Roger will be pleased to know that it's named after the Sanskrit word for joy, ananda. It's called anandamide. And if you learn the improved, new and improved meditation practice contained in the book Bliss Brain, you will increase the anandamide flow in your brain. You'll find out why Buddhist monks are so happy, why they live a life of joy. What else can you learn when you read last month's issue of Unity Magazine? There are two Unity ministers, Reverend Ogun Holder, a black man from Barbados, and Reverend Kelly Isola, who identifies as white. They have founded Project Sanctus, which is a racial justice online movement, which I finally got off the dime. I donated. I joined. I attended my first affinity group last Wednesday. They're monthly. There's an affinity group for those who identify as white, and another affinity group for those who identify as persons of color or persons of culture, whatever phrase works for you. I attended my first group, and through the imagery of the cramped quarters and the slave ship, we've agreed to meditate for a month on how we've been cramped, how our growth has been cramped by the expectation of racism and by the biases that we assumed because we grew up here. So Reverend Ogun Holder has an article in this past issue of Unity Magazine where he suggests that the 12 powers be expanded to include the 13th power of justice. And Reverend Kelly, whom I've read her columns eagerly. Reverend Ogun had columns a few years ago. Now he is a sometime columnist and sometime contributor to the magazine. Reverend Kelly intrigued me, so I found one of her talks. And it was simple, yet elegant. Now, a student of history knows that the various details of Jesus' birth story in Mark and Luke are allegories and metaphors. They're not historically true. However, Reverend Kelly said, focus in on these three phrases. Good news, great joy, all people. And gives a talk where at the end of every paragraph, she smiles and says, good news, great joy, all people. Her metaphysical acumen impressed me. It also impressed the editor of Unity Magazine because it's been edited down and included on one of the back pages of the current issue. So you really would know many of the things that this book nerd knows just by exposing yourself to Unity Magazine. So before I let you go, when I was sitting in the minister's office our new senior minister's office, I found a piece of paper, and it prompted me to not be fearful about this assignment. It said, "Love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles. It leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope." Maya Angelou. That one will find its way to the mountain of paper on my desk. So let's go back to those affirmations that I told you about. Pick one if you like one, or simply pick one of the challenges that you identified in your meditation. Turn it inside out, make it positive, deny the negative, and make up your own affirmation. Some of the ones I've used to grow. Thought of lack has no power over me. God is the source of my good. Reverend Lafayette Seymour, who's probably retired by now, spoke those words from this platform in 1996. I release accumulated beliefs that limit my potential. My identity is divine. I'll bet you can all guess who said that. Reverend Linda also said, "Even if my physical body is not well, I can assert my divine identity. I am divine life. Wholeness and wellness are my true nature." And one of Unity's first leaders, a beautiful 19th century name, Hypatia Holt Hasbrook, "With godlike thoughts, I think a godlike world into being." I want to thank you for staying with me on this, what was for me a challenging leap to talk about something that I only barely conceive myself, to stand out there on the ragged edge of my faith and trust, which is a form of hope, trust that love will catch me if I fall. So I invite you, when you go out your door today, be prayerful out there. Walk through life with your love lights on, and never forget that Dennis Ryan does love you madly.